the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Has anyone seen this video?
Yeah. Oh, look at these two. All right, come on. You're okay? Oh, what? Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
Well, that was Coldplay lead singer Chris Martin at a concert in Boston during the week. He was reacting to a couple caught on the kiss cam who, for all the world, looked like they'd been having a sneaky moment behind the filing cabinets. She covered her face. He promptly disappeared. Chris Martin paused to comment and the internet did what it does best. It turned an awkward situation into a viral sensation. So, how should those involved handle the fallout? I'm joined by Owen Tomás McDermott, Managing Director of the Communications Clinic. And no such thing as a free lunch here, Owen. What advice would you give them?
Well, Richard, normally when someone is navigating a crisis, the first thing that we would say to them is don't just do something, stand there, which is opposite to what many people would say when things go wrong, which is, gosh, what are you standing there for? Will you do something? But that idea of don't just do something, stand there is crucial in managing a crisis. What we saw on Thursday night at the Coldplay gig in their reaction was them doing something and then that something exacerbating the problem, because their panicked reaction on the night actually made it the viral clip. And although none of us may be in that situation, again, there is learning for individuals and organisations on navigating a crisis as such, which is panicked reactions tend to exacerbate the problem. And you're better to sit there, try and figure it out and navigate it. Now, they lost that opportunity within 14 seconds.
In these circumstances, that was asking for a lot.
Yeah, and then what you tend to do is, let's call it good stakeholder engagement, which may mean that they need to start talking to their key audiences, which might mean spouses, families, clients, customers,
and
colleagues,
what about,
for example.
I mean, after, you know, talking to families and colleagues and so forth, what about the idea of a very public apology? Because where you have someone caught up in a controversy or a scandal, the advice is typically, look, this is damaging. It's potentially damaging for you professionally, personally, the company, the organisation. You need to come out and apologise. But this is a personal issue.
Well, it's both a personal issue, but now that the organisation in and of itself had been dragged into it, that it then becomes a corporate challenge for them too, because the internet, as you said, did its thing and discovered that he was a CEO of a software as a service organisation that was planning significant expansion into Europe, and that she was the chief people officer of said organisation. So it creates a lot of challenges. I suppose the video in and of itself is perfect for social media. It's 14 seconds long. Microsoft, for example, did a study into how long do people give video whilst they engage, and they found 8 seconds. So even on that, it covered it off on those pieces. And what you're then looking at is, okay, the implications for these people and their careers as they go through. Part of it, it'll depend on what did the shareholders and the backers of the organisation think? What do they really care about, and will this matter?
Do clients or customers of a company really care what, you know, people working for a company get up to, as long as it's, you know, within certain boundaries and it's legal and so forth?
Well, it depends. So let's look at history, for example. There are a couple of interesting examples where the replaceability of the CEO influences whether or not they move on. And Dana White, for example, a couple of years ago, video footage emerged from him where he was seen.
UFC.
Dana White is the CEO of UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship that Conor McGregor would participate in. He was seen striking his wife leaving a restaurant and club, and this video became footage. Now, you would think an assault on one's spouse in such public, which is an example of domestic violence, should be critical for someone's career and unsalvageable. Yet he is still the CEO of UFC.
He made an apology, and
it was clear that the backers of that organisation felt that he was able to run it. And even so much so that his career has been rehabilitated to the point that he was put on the board of Meta this year. So I think there's a touch where an apology where you eat a little bit of poo will be required, but also that idea of, well, who really cares about this? And if there is a feeling that someone is not replaceable, they may not be replaced. So in relation to the people in this particular crisis, I'm not quite sure on the ownership model where he sits and how important he is to the company's development into the future, but that'll matter.
And sometimes where you have an executive in a high profile position and there's some kind of a personal issue, personal relationship, an affair, whatever it might be, it's often not so much even about whether a person has done anything wrong, but it's what they say in the aftermath of that.
Precisely. So you touched on an apology. An apology goes an awful long way. Saying I'm sorry, acknowledging that, and then actually spending a little bit of time to, let's call it, attend and to wallow in it. So there are classic examples. People will remember 30 years ago, Hugh Grant was caught with a prostitute and he has now shifted to becoming, you know, the star of Paddington. The day after that happened, he apologised. He then did a subsequent interview on Jay Leno that was extraordinarily toe-curlingly embarrassing for him, but that again he apologised in. People would have said he took his medicine and his career could progress. You'll remember Tiger Woods did a similarly awful apology. It lasted 14 minutes. It was terribly painful, but then people could move on for it. What's interesting though is if you look, for example, there are case studies again of Bernard Looney, the Irish CEO of BP, who was, when he was appointed in 2020, a couple of years after that, there was an investigation into personal relationships that he had with his colleagues. After the first investigation, it was found that there was no disciplinary action to be meted out. A year or so later, there was another investigation following further allegations, and he lost his role, not because of the relationships, but because he wasn't fulsome in his evidence that he gave the investigation. So that's a crucial thing.
That's a distinction.
Honesty, being truthful and coming through. In relation to this, one final point, Richard, if I may make it, I would recommend people read John Ronson's book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Like all John Ronson's books, they're brilliant. But this is a classic example of public shaming, because what we're seeing is the town square is social media. These people are in the stocks. Social media is made for it. And the targets are suffering extraordinary consequences. I think the chief people officer at the heart of this does not have a net worth the same as the CEO. And she's going to find it very, very difficult to get a role after this. And the question of whether or not the penance that they are receiving fits the crime is up for debate.
So things can be meted out very differently in the aftermath. And like any viral controversy, the internet will quickly move on to the next big thing. And the public's attention will soon shift elsewhere. Owen Tomás McDermott, many thanks for joining us on the programme.